As many of you know, we're in our new series that Pastor Ken started last week, and we're talking about being a witness in the world. for those of you that were here last week, I'm just going to give a little give you a little overview of what we talked about. Pastor Ken went over a few things, talking about it was talk it, I'm supposed to share about walking it, and then we're going to have Don't Balk It next week, so you don't want to miss that. But past week, Pastor Ken was mentioning about how we're all witnesses, no matter whether we want it or not, good or bad, we are witnesses. That's the fact that we should live on and should always think of, whether you're at work, at home, whatever you are, you're a witness. Bad, good or bad, you are it. You cannot avoid it. And then he also mentioned one thing that I'll be going in my message this morning. The most effective witness is a loving service plus the mention of his name. And then Pastor Ken was trying to emphasize that, you know, we can do all the good services and serve people and do all the great things in life, but if we don't mention God's name, it's all in vain. Because people won't know that you've done all these great things because you're a Christian, because you love God, because God has changed your heart. And then he closed in with three stories that we should know. There's their story, so we should know our friends' stories, what they're facing, what they're going through, their difficulties. We should know our story, our personal story of how we were before we became Christians. How are we now? What brought us to the kingdom of God, and what has changed ever since then? And then the third story that Pastor Ken mentioned was his story. We should know, we should always prepare, we should be always prepared to share the story of the gospel to our friends. So today we'll be talking about walking it. And before I go into my message, I'd just like you guys to repeat after me. Say this: I am a witness. That was good. Let's do it one more time. I am a witness.
I am a witness.
Okay. And my question would be this. Are you? Are you the witness? what does it mean to be a Christian? I mean, I won't be talking any good new stuff this morning. I'll be just going over some things that I really believe I should share with you. But what does it mean to be a Christian? You know, what makes us different from non-Christians? There's many people that say, "Well, I'm Christian, but they even go to church. No matter what church they go to, that doesn't matter. What really matters, what always comes down to, is the heart. And you have Christians everywhere. But people are saying, "Well, I'm a Christian, and I believe in God and all that stuff." But the question is, if you're a Christian, that means that you're a Christ follower. So what are you doing with your life? What are your actions showing as a Christian in this world? We have been forgiven, and our lifestyle has changed ever since we became Christians. Well, it should have changed. Christ has changed us. And we're not doing all the bad stuff that we used to do. We're not living an old life where we are renewed and our spirit is reborn. We found hope and we're living a new life. And many Christians are intimidated by this idea of sharing what they have experienced, that renewal of their heart. They're intimidated of sharing this faith and what they believe in because, well, I'll go into because later, but I want to mention that God has never ever intended for us to make it difficult for us to share the gospel. Now, the Great Commission that the Pastor Ken mentioned last week says, go to all the world and share to all the four corners of the world and share the gospel. But it is not an impossible burden. God has never intended it to be like that. And there is a first fill-in if you guys receive this, I'm just going to go through the first fill-in right now. This is what I've come up with. God meant for us to be witnesses of Jesus Christ through the natural outcome of living for Him. You see, we as Christians, we make it complicated. We make it too complicated. We think, as we talked last week, we have to know the whole story. We have to share everything. We have to just know every single detail, and we don't want to bore people. That's what we think the gospel is all about. Some people even think, well, I got to go through a 10-week course to actually, I mean, that's all good. That will all equip us and help us. And we have to go to Bible school to be witnesses, or we have to do this, or we have to do that. But really, it's really simple. It's really all about just living for Him. That's what it's all about, just living your life for Him. The scripture that I'd like to share with you, and they're found here in 2 Corinthians 3, 2-3, this is what it says. This really spoke to me. You yourselves are our letter. This is Paul writing to Corinth. He says, you yourselves are our letter written in our hearts, known and read by everybody. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. And through the Bible, we have found that we, as Christians, we have been compared with many things. There's a couple things I'll mention here. We've been called branches. In John 15, he says, I'm a true vine and you're the branches. Then we've been compared as salt. You know, you are the salt to the world, to the earth. We've been compared to light. You're the light of the world. We've been compared to sheep. Somebody came to you and said, you're sheep. What would you say? Well, Jesus has made that comparison because it really does. Because what do sheep do? They listen to a voice. They listen to a different kind of voice. Voice of their pastor. Voice of their somebody that they're familiar with. And they follow that voice. But then we have been called witnesses as well. In the verse in Acts 1:8, it says, you are the witnesses. You're my witnesses. But here in Corinthians, in this letter that I just, this few verses that I just read, we are compared to epistles. We are compared to letters. An epistle is a letter, of course. And you and I are a letter that has been written by the Spirit of the living God. And you, I'm sure you already know this, but letters, what do letters do? What are they intended to do? They're intended to carry a message. I mean, how many of you guys receive junk email? All the time, right? But all those letters, they carry a message. If you actually sit down through your junk stuff and you actually try to read through some of them, they all have a different message, whether it's they're trying to sell you something, or they're trying to do something or make you do something, or it's all about carrying a message. And as I said, so there's friend letters, there's letters of thank you letters, there's letters of congratulations, there's letters of sympathy, letters of, you know, even love letters. Wow, there's love letters, you know. And there's also, there's this new type of letters, it came from this movie, Dear John letters, you know. Dear whoever, dear David, there's all kinds of letters, but this is the thing. There's many kinds of letters out there. However, we Christians are meant to be living letters of Jesus Christ, bearing a message of good tidings and great joy unto this dying world. And as Paul was writing, Paul was writing this to the early church in Corinth. His point was really simple. We as Christians are a testimony of the work of Jesus. And however, although the point is very simple, this meaning is much bigger. Everything we do everything that we do in our life is a message to other people. Whether it's a good or a bad message, everything that we do is a message. And the question is, and this question we should probably ask ourselves each and every day, what kind of message are we sharing? What kind of letter are we? Everything that we do, our actions, everything, absolutely everything, have a message. An example, I'm just going to give an example of my wife giving me stuff to do in the house, giving me some responsibilities. Well, honey, I really think you should start helping me out and clean the floors, and there's bathrooms need to be cleaned up once in a while too. You know, you can't just leave it all to myself. I have to take care of the kids. And, oh, yes, honey, I'll help you. Well, week goes by. Well, honey, I really think you should, you know, like you pass by this closet. I pass by the closet all the time. The broom is there, I know. And it's even calling me sometimes, David. But it really sometimes, it, you know, talking that I'm going to do it and actually doing it is two totally opposite things. And I think most misunderstanding, even in marriages, comes down to this: talking and actually doing it, especially when it comes to men. May all the ladies in the house say amen. It's so true, because I still find myself, her asking me to do one thing over and over and over and over again. I say, yes, honey, I'll do it. Yeah, for sure, I'll have to. Oh, I really do have to find time. Oh, I really do. I'm going to do it on Tuesday. I even say the time and date, but it doesn't happen. I mean, it happens, but, you know, she has to tell me a few times, and I have to keep on saying, yes, I'll do it. So, you know, even with being a witness in our own house to our own spouse, to our husband and wife, like, what kind of message are we showing? Are we really walking what we're talking? Are we really being real? So we are witnesses, bad or good. We are it. We cannot avoid that. And for Paul, there's no doubt that he and the other early workers in the church, they really had hard times, and there was some discouragement that happened. They heard about people that they saw all kinds of work that has been done in the church. And they saw people that in the church of Corinth that were displaying the evidence of God working in their lives. There were also other people that were not displaying that evidence. But we can make sure that we are ready to tell people about Jesus. And part of that can include displaying what we believe. And the next fill-in that is on the sheet, if you have your pencils, this is what it is. Part of our witness is displaying what we believe, not by just talking about what we believe. So it's really about displaying what we believe, not just talking about it. It's showing it. It's your this saying, and it's so true, your actions speak louder than your words. No matter what you say, it does not matter what you say if you don't do it. You have to display it. As Christians, our message becomes illegible when we live contradictory lives. Too many times, people can't really know what we're doing, what we're up to, but, you know, we can sing on Sundays, we can do things that in the church, but then on Mondays we can go out and just do everything opposite of what we were doing here on Sundays. We live one way in a church. Some people live one way in a church, but to their family and around their friends, they're living a totally different life. And there's many today whose message is eligible because there are too many blots in their life. There's just too many of them. You see, we might be designed to carry a message of eternal truth, but all that the world can see is these blots, these spots. Blots of tempers, of worldliness, of unforgiveness, of envy, blots of jealousy, blots of strife. And the Bible teaches us that the only cure for an ineligible and contradictory witness is a life of holiness. That is the only cure for it. And I want to let you know this morning one more time that as everybody, every girl and every guy and every child in this place, we are all an open letter for Jesus Christ. Every Christian is an advertisement for the kingdom of God, whether good or bad. You know, you've got commercials. When you watch a TV, you see a commercial. People try to sell you on anything and everything in this world. And it's just the way we live. It's just all about sales. It's all about... But if you think about the kingdom of God, we as Christians, we are the only advertisement that God has on this earth. We are the only advertisement. He has rewarded us with a good pay, with eternal life. But what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to share that eternal life. We will judge the shopkeepers by the goods that they sell. We will judge craftsmen, people that do all kinds of stuff with things that they produce. We judge the church by the disciples it creates. And the problem is, and this is the problem that we encounter today a lot with people that don't know what they don't want to hear about Christians, they don't want to hear about the church or God and anything. This is the problem. Men judge Christ and the church by his followers. People at your work, people that you're surrounded with, will judge Christ by your actions. They won't care about anything. They will not want to listen to you if you live a contradictory life, if you live a different kind of lifestyle. And here's another fill-in right here. You are the only Christian material, you probably heard this before, you're the only Christian material unbelievers might read. And it's true. It's simple and true. You might not have time to mention and to preach the gospel, to say things, but you might be the only one that they're going to be able to read. The only Bible or the only Christian book. And every book has a story. And you and your life has a story. And as you talk your story through your life and works, you always have to remember to mention his name. You always have to remember that. Another verse in Matthew 5:16. This is what it says. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. You see, and people can and they will. They can spot a phony person a mile away. I'm sure you guys can do that as well. And the absolute worst thing that we can do is to say one thing and do another thing. And if we aren't committed to applying Christian principles in our own life, we'll not only be ineffective, but we will be seen by others as insincere and phony people. And here's another thing that I think is really important. People aren't as interested in what you say as they are in seeing how it's working in your personal life. They don't care about what you say. They just want to see how it works for you. And in James, there is a verse that it's mentioning the faith and works. And it says, your faith without the works is dead. Basically, whatever you do in your life, if it's not followed by works, it's speaking in a different context in that specific scripture, but it applies to everything in life. You can say that you believe anything and everything, but if there's no works to follow that, it's useless. And here's some practical things that I've shared with youth a couple weeks ago that I'd like to share with you guys this morning. I just believe that they're really... will help you to be an effective witness as you walk this Christian life, as you walk through this Christian life. Here's the first fill-in out of these five things that I'd like to share with you. Have a good attitude. Here it is. Have a good attitude. It's so simple. It is so simple. At all times, have a good attitude. You know, one of the best ways to share your faith is to demonstrate the very things you believe by staying positive and having a good attitude, even in the middle of crisis in your own personal life. Remember the story in the Bible about Peter walking on the water? You see, as long as Peter, when he was walking on the water, it speaks in the Bible that he was, but he kept on walking above the water as long as he stayed focused on Jesus. What happened once he focused on the storm? He started sinking. You see, no matter what kind of storm we're going through in our life, in our own personal experience, and this thing called life, it's really important as Christians that we always have a good attitude at all times, no matter what you're going through. I don't know what are the things that you personally are going through, but I believe in my own experience, whenever there's things happening, whenever there's things that I'm going through, if you keep a positive attitude and if you keep trusting God, if you keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, that situation is not a big of a problem anymore. Because you know and you believe that God will take care of it. And you see, when people around you see the peace in your life, especially when it seems like you're surrounded by storms, you can bet that they'll know, they will want to know how to get what you got. On the other hand, if they see the top of your head as you're sinking in the water, you know, there's not a whole lot to ask. They won't have much to ask. And even in this text that I read in Corinthians, we find that there were many attitudes in the Corinthian church that were hindering the delivery of the message of God. Just like we have attitudes, all the attitudes today. You know, there was attitudes of selfishness. They had attitudes of non-commitment, attitudes of pride, of big eyes and yous, and attitudes that we don't like to, I don't like the way you spoke to me, or attitudes of, oh, I don't like the way you looked at me, and all these different attitudes. But did you know, and this is you probably heard this before, did you know that your altitude in life depends on your attitude? How far you get in your Christian walk, how far you get in being a witness. If you have a low attitude in your own personal life, you're gonna have a low altitude of being a witness. You just killed it right there. So always have a positive attitude. If you want to have an altitude of being a personal effective witness in this world, always keep a positive attitude. And don't lose it by having and keeping a bad attitude in your life. Just don't. It's not worth it. Point number two, fill-in number two, that I think is really important to be an effective witness as we walk it through this life. Treat people with respect and dignity. Treat people with respect and dignity, no matter what the circumstances are. It doesn't matter if your boss is treating you bad. It doesn't matter if your friend is being misunderstanding, he's being just weird. It does not matter. What you as a Christian are supposed to do, you are supposed to treat them with respect and dignity. Whenever you have the opportunity, show how you don't change how you treat people no matter what. Jesus treated people right even when they mistreated him. No matter what they did to him, he always treated them right. And people around you that we're surrounded with, they will wonder. They will want to ask questions about this respect that you have for others. And you never know. They might actually even personally come to you and ask, how can you respect, or how can you have dignity and respect towards this guy that's just calling us all whatever. That's being an effective witness by walking it. Always treating others with respect and dignity. Point number three that I'd like to share with you is find ways to be a blessing to others. And last Sunday, Pastor Ken mentioned, serve people. Serve people. Find ways to serve people. And not only serve people, but as you serve people, always mention his name. Don't just serve people just to serve them. Serve them because you love Jesus, because God loves us. But also say, you know, it's because of Jesus. It's because of his love in my heart that I'm serving. It's because he's changed me. He's made me a better person. Always mention his name. Finding ways to be a blessing to others will not only plant amazing seeds for harvest in your own life, but it will show others that you're not a phony, that you're not insincere. It shows that you live what you believe. And saying that you're a Christian is one thing, but living it in a tangible way every day is something else. And the Bible says, again, we already read this verse, they will know them by their fruit. And as I was growing up in a church myself, my grandfather was probably one of the best examples that I had in my own personal experience as a Christian. And even now, even though he's gone, long gone, I still remember things that he used to do. He always was looking for ways to bless someone, even though he had six children, he had a busy life, and he was just, his ministry was amazing. He used to sit on a little motorcycle and drive hundreds of kilometers just to visit one family and help them out. And I hear stories of people, even now, and there's a lot of older people of his generation have passed, but I've heard stories that coming up to me and say, your grandfather, he built my wall in the kitchen. He fixed my sink. He did this. He did that. Nobody asked him anything, ever. He just showed up, and he showed up in the house, and he said, what shall be fixed? What shall we do today? And these are the things that you can apply to your own life. Find ways. There is definitely, everybody has needs. There's always something that to be done for someone. Find those ways to bless, to be a blessing to someone. Be an effective witness by walking it. Point number four I'd like to share with you. Don't compromise your beliefs. Don't compromise your beliefs. And situations, we all know this. The situations happen every day. Well, not only compromise is possible, but many times compromise is expected from us. People expect you to compromise what you believe in. But you have to show the people that your Christianity means living a life of integrity. And that, oh yes, as Pastor Ken mentioned last week, that means telling that sales clerk or that Jamie on a drive-thru McDonald's when he gives you more money. And, you know, you're driving through to work and you're late and you're just trying to get your coffee and they give you more money and you're like, you just realize you just drove away. You're like, well, I can't back up now, right? I'm late for work. You know, all these things, all these obstacles that come up. If you're a Christian, you got to have integrity. You got to say, you know what? I'm going to pull my car over. I'm going to walk in. I'm going to give the money back. It doesn't belong to me. That's what it means to be a witness. That's what it means to be a Christian. Do you really think that, don't you think that that person in McDonald's, that kid, usually it's young people that work in McDonald's. Don't you think they would think, really? We gave you more money and you actually pulled over, you actually walked in to give us the money back? Don't you think they would make them think? And maybe that would be a good chance for you to say, well, I'm a Christian. And you know what? I really believe that you should have integrity in your life. So I'm just trying to live what I believe in. You might change his life or her life, whoever that might be. Don't compromise your beliefs. And then point number five I'd like to share with you is a really strong point. And this is what it is. Forgive quickly. Forgive quickly. The ability to forgive quickly is a very powerful way to show how this whole Christianity thing really works. You have to become a model of forgiveness. And nothing creates more division and hostility and turmoil in relationships more than an unwillingness to forgive the people who hurt you. And of course, there'll be times when they are absolutely right. We used to talk about forgiveness before. They are absolutely right. And maybe they're absolutely wrong. But what are you as a Christian supposed to do? To be a witness. We're talking here about you being a witness to someone by forgiving them. Even though they may have wronged you, they may have even stole something from you. You're being a witness by just forgiving them quickly, like this. Saying, coming up to them and saying, you know what? I forgive you. And it's because God forgave me. That's why I forgive you. Being right doesn't give us a free pass to punish and humiliate and embarrass someone else. And it most certainly doesn't eliminate our responsibility as Christians to forgive. And the best way, and I think is the best way to share our faith, is to be an example by forgiving other people. Always, at all times, no matter what. When they asked Jesus, how many times should I forgive? 7 times? Is there a limit? Maybe 2 times? And we actually, in our head, we go through a day and we're like, wow, again. Oh, he just did it again. Oh, she just did it again. And we just keep on thinking about, how many times am I going to forgive you? Well, Jesus says, you know what? There's no limit. Well, he says 7 times 77. So if you can do the math, that's a lot of times. There's no limit in forgiveness. And people will want to know how you can be so peaceful in a storm. Why is your life doing so well? Why your relationships are with your parents, your friends, your whoever are so great? And how you know for sure about your purpose in life? And when they ask, you better be ready to and prepared to say something. You better be ready to share your own testimony, because we are all here this morning because we have our own personal testimony. Correct? Am I wrong? We all have experienced God in our own personal life in a different way. And we all have something to share of how we used to be before we became Christians and how we are now. We all have something to share. We just have to know what that is. Of course, we should know. And that, maybe that one thing is the only thing that you can share. But that's an effect, being an effective witness. That's being what God has called us to be. Many of us think that if you accept Christ and say that we're Christians, that there is all there is to it. But along with saying it, we must actually show it. We must actually walk it. We must actually live it. We have to live it. And here's another fill-in towards the end. Just as our lives can display a good message about our faith, they can also display a negative message. Why do people in the world walk in and say, "Why, you Christians, you hypocrites, you say one thing, you do another." They say it all the time. It's because we always, with our actions, the way we, just these few points that I shared, they just don't align with what we talk about, what we speak about, what we're trying to live. It is about displaying a good message about our faith. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. It's a combination of works and deeds. It's a combination of us talking about it, but also us walking about it. And sometimes you don't have to be intimidated. It's not like you have to go and there's people that are called to be evangelists. They go into the streets and they preach the gospel. You don't have to do that. If you just walk, just these few things that I've mentioned here, if you just have a good attitude, if you treat people with respect and dignity, if you find ways to be a blessing, to serve, if you do not compromise your beliefs, and if you forgive quickly, those are good enough things in your life to be an effective witness, to actually walk it, to actually be an example. And I'm going to call up a band, and I'll ask you guys to stand. And as I'll just like to pray on this, and it is really, as Christians, I think it's really important for us to reflect on our words, on our attitudes, on our actions daily. I really believe that's something that should be our routine. You know, by the end of the day, we should always, not by the end of the day, maybe in the morning, whenever you wake up or when you, throughout the day, you always should reflect and say, hey, am I being a good witness by living it out? My words, my attitudes, whatever I've done today, has it really done good? Has it really shared a good message, or has it shared a negative, bad message? We don't want to be hypocrites. We don't want to be people that are just talking and they're not mentioning His name. They're just talking and not walking it. And in this last fill-in, it's really not important that much, because Pastor Kendi mentioned this before. He said, you always have to talk about it. You always have to walk. You always have to talk about it. You have to walk about it. But you also always have to remember to mention His name. Don't forget that. That's the most important thing that you can do. Walk, do great things in life, have a good attitude, serve people, be loving, be forgiving, but mention the name of Jesus. Say, it is because of Jesus that I'm like this, that I do this. So let us just close our eyes, and I'm just going to pray for all over us. Father God, we thank you so much for making us your witnesses. Father God, we thank you for saving us. And no, this salvation is not only for us, but it's for everybody else. So we want to be able to share it, Father. We want to be able to get your message across with our, not only with our words, but with our actions, Jesus, with walking it. Father God, I pray that you bless each and every one of us here today, this morning. And I pray that you would just pour your love into our hearts. Because we do want to be your witnesses. We do want to walk in your ways, Father. We do want to show your love. We do want to shine your light. We do want to be salt. Help us, Father. Make us effective witness, Father. And effective witnesses for your kingdom and for your glory, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. You can do the chorus. The last one.
You're all I ever need. You're all I want. Help me know you are me.
Sing it one more time.
You're all I want. You're all I ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know you are me.
Thank you, God. Don't forget this. You're the message of hope to people that have no hope. You're the message of, you're the letter of love to people that need love. You need to put Jesus Christ first in your life. And you need to let Him mold your heart to be an effective witness in the world. And as you leave today, as we dismiss, I'd just like you to think about these points that I've shared. Think about maybe the point number 3 specifically. I'm sure there's ways that you can be a blessing to someone. Whether it's someone in your home, whether it's someone in your circle of friends or family or at work, whatever you are, I'm sure there's some ways, there's something that you can do for someone. You can be a blessing to someone by doing something for them, by helping them out in something. And trust me, if you do this, they will wonder, why is she being so nice to me? Why does she want to do all this stuff for me? People will ask, people will wonder, and this is going to be a great chance for you when the chance comes up when to tell them, to mention the name of Jesus, say, hey, you know, I'm a Christian, so I'm here to serve you, whatever you need. May God help us and may God bless you guys. Father God, may your love be with us as we go home, and may your light shine through us, whatever we go and whatever we do. In your name, amen.